I'd like you to take the little papers I gave out last night. If you didn't receive one, just raise your hand. I have more here. And I'd like you to look at the prayer that's on the first page there. I came across this in preparing for this week. Maybe we could just read it together as we begin. All right, together. O God, show me more of your holiness. Show me more of my sinfulness. Help me to hate sin and to love righteousness as you do. Grant me a deeper conviction of sin and a more thorough spirit of repentance. O Jesus, fill me with the Holy Spirit and make me holy as you are holy. Amen. I thought it would be good for us each time we gather in the mornings to read this. As I read through it and prepared, there was one line I didn't like. What line don't you like in the prayer? Oh, you like it. That's good. You're not like me then. Yeah, it was, show me more of my sinfulness. We don't like that necessarily. That's a little bit negative. But I wanted to clarify it a little bit before we began, because I think it's very important for understand something. When I ask the Lord to show me more of my sinfulness, I'm not asking him to save me. I mean, it's not my initial time that I've knelt at the cross and asked the Lord to forgive my sins. But my sinfulness is something deeper than that. It deals with the sinful nature that each one of us possesses. And the Lord has made provision for that sinful nature. It's not an excuse to sin. When you say, show me more of my sinfulness, it's not to say, well, you know, as Paul says in Romans 6, oh, let's just continue in sin that grace may abound. The response to that is, God forbid. Absolutely not. And so when we ask God to show us our own sinfulness, it's something that we can pray, I think, as long as we live, because the Lord deals with us throughout life. There might be things that God is dealing with you right now about that you will overcome and you will get the victory over, and God will have his way in those areas. But as you get further along in this walk with the Lord, he might say to you, you know what? That attitude that you have is not right. Or that thought that you thought this morning was not right. Or you're a little bit too critical about other people. Or you're a little bit too self-righteous. And these are sins of maybe not the flesh, but sins of the spirit. And they're very subtle at times. And so what I'm trying to say is that this subject of holiness and God showing us himself and showing us ourselves is something that we ought to take as a lifelong process. The thought of give me a more thorough spirit of repentance. Do you like that? Well, I repented a long time ago. Well, yes, you did. But there are things that we need to repent of, beloved, that are not pleasing to God. And I think the point I want to make as we begin is let's not excuse ourselves and let's not compare ourselves to one another. You see, we're going to see this morning in the passage that we read, there's really one standard of holiness, and that's the Lord God himself. And so you can't compare yourself to someone else or some other group that we're much better than they are, or we don't do what they do and I don't do what that person does. How could that, you know, I'm good. And that's a very subtle thing. And it creeps in. And the Lord puts his finger upon it. I just wanted to refer to just a number of, first of all, I think it's scriptural because the psalmist prays that way, doesn't he? In Psalm 139, what does he pray? Search me, O God, and know my thoughts. Try me. I got it wrong. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And this was the man of God. Yes, he had his faults and failings. He didn't make excuse for sin. His attitude was, God, show me if there's something in me that displeases you. And so I believe that God is able to deal with us. You know, I was always impressed with my dad in this respect. Many things impressed me about Dad. But to the very end of his life, he had a desire to be in God's house and to be in God's presence. And he never stopped and said, you know what, I've arrived. I've arrived now. Look, I've been on the way 90 years. I'm good. Never. And the danger with us, beloved, is that we feel we're okay. Everyone okay here this morning? You're okay, right? And this is not negative. I don't want to make this as a negative talk. But the thought is this. As we see God's holiness, and the more we see God's holiness, the more we will see our need of Him to come and to change us and to make us more like Jesus. And so when we sing, open my eyes, Lord, I want to see Jesus. Open my eyes, Lord, and help me to see myself as you see me. You know, self-deception is probably one of the worst things, isn't it? And the Lord wants to deliver us from that. And so, oh God, show me more of your holiness. Show me more of my sinfulness. We sing it in that song, My Deliverer. Show me the things of which I am unconscious. Lord, put thy finger now upon my heart. Whisper to me, O blessed Holy Spirit, show me what grieves thee that it may depart. Another song we sing, God in heaven hath a treasure. And that last verse always interested me because the words were a little funny in their construction. You want to be lowlier and holier. And the idea is that there's that possibility that we can be more than we are. Do you understand that? Do you understand that you can be more than you are right now in God? There's more for us. No matter how long we've been on the way, there's more for us. And we can be holier. And to God, a vessel holier, filled with Christ and Christ alone. And so that's our, should I say, our goal, or the thing that we ought to look to. We don't look to ourselves. When we say, show me more of my sinfulness, it's not that I'm looking at myself and trying to change myself. But it's to remind me and to show me how much I need a Savior. Do you know that you need Jesus? No one said amen. Do you know that you need Jesus?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We need Jesus, and we need Him now. He's a Savior now. Jesus saves me now. That's the secret to a happy Christian life, that Jesus saves me now. He's a present Savior. He saves me from my sin, yes. He saves me from myself. And He makes me more like Jesus. Moment by moment, I'm kept in His love. Hallelujah. And so let's just open our Bibles and just consider this story, this account from Isaiah 6. I felt we needed to begin by considering the holiness of God because that is, as I said, that's the point of reference. That's the standard. God says, be holy as I am holy. And so I want us to consider just a little bit about the holiness of God. Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And so here the prophet Isaiah had a sight of the Lord. If you turn to Revelation, I'm not asking you to at this moment, but if you turn to that reference in Revelation, you'll see that that same picture is repeated, and John sees the same thing. He sees heaven opened, and he sees this worship around the throne. And what do they say? They say, "Holy, holy, 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 holy." And I believe it's taking place even now, even this morning. When we sang, "Holy, holy, holy," we were just echoing what was taking place in heaven as they fall down and worship him who sits upon the throne. But Isaiah says, "I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord." And there's a response that he gives to this sight. And beloved, when we see the Lord, there must be a response. If there's no response, then I dare say you have not saw the Lord. And you ought to say, "Lord, open my eyes. Open the eyes of my heart. Open my spiritual eyes, Lord, that I could see this great God, this great Savior, this holy God." I just want to take a moment to, you know, we talk about the holiness of God, and I wonder if we fully, I confess I don't understand it. I mean, we try to formulate things about God, but I don't know if we can fully understand what it means when God says he is holy. But there are verses and passages in the Bible that give us understanding of what that means. We read that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. We read that God is love. And I believe that's part of his holiness. I believe the word itself has the idea of being not only separate, but to be other in origin. You see, God is, maybe I should say it the other way, we are not like God. God is other. We know where we begin, so to speak. We know that we've come from Adam, that God created us, but God was, and God is, and God always will be. He dwells in light, it says, unapproachable. And his holiness has that thought of purity, that God is good, that he cannot do what is evil or wrong, that he is righteous in all his ways. And so when we consider his holiness, we think of, again, these revealed characteristics, as it were, or the essence of God that we have in Scripture. That purity, that absolute purity in God, is something I think that Isaiah saw in this vision, in this sight. Because what was his immediate response? When he saw the Lord, what did he say?
"I'm unclean."
He said, "Woe is me. I am unclean." And I just want us to understand the connection there. You know, again, going back to the prayer, "Show me more of your holiness and show me more of my sinfulness." immediately when he saw the holiness of God, the response to that was that he owned his own sinfulness. He saw it. Now, I believe God had called him already. He was a prophet of God. This wasn't that he was living a sinful life and you know, just indulging in all the pleasures of the flesh and he was far away from God. No, he was close to God. And because he was close to God, God revealed himself to him, and then he saw his need. He saw that there was a further need for cleansing, that he was undone, that he could not stand before this holy God. And so he cries out, "Woe is me." Maybe one of the things that's lacking in our experience is a fear of God. I don't know if we really talk about that too much. The fear of God. Oh, we're not supposed to be afraid of God. Don't tell our children that they need to fear God because then they'll think he's bad. Well, we need to say it to them and explain it to them in a way that they can understand. That here is a God that we want to reverence. And we want to please because he loves us so much that he gave himself for us. And that fear to displease him. I know my children, they try to please me. I hope they're not afraid of me. David tells me that his friends are afraid of me.
They are.
So how does God respond? How does heaven respond to this cry of desperation? You almost could hear him say, "God, I need you. I need you to cleanse me." I mean, he didn't say it just that way, but that was the prayer of his heart, because heaven responds, and the angel comes and takes a coal from off the altar. And he touches his lips. And what does it say? "Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged." And I believe if we would have this attitude of repentance, and if we would cry out to God and say, "God, I need you. I need you to change me. I need you to cleanse me." I believe when we pray that prayer, God hears and God answers. You see, God had a purpose and plan over Isaiah's life. And he wanted to use him to speak. And so he touched his lips. God wants to use you and me. He wants us to speak of his glory. He wants us to share the gospel, the good news. And yet he desires that our hearts and our lips are clean. I think the words that we speak reflect so much what's in our heart. Jesus said it this way, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. interesting, too, on the day of Pentecost, how one of the signs that they were filled with the Holy Spirit was that God had gotten a hold of their tongues, and they spoke in other languages as the Lord gave them utterance. And so this picture here in Isaiah, it speaks not only of the mouth being clean, but the heart. Just the last thought is in verse 8. The purpose in this was that God was wanting to send him. And so he hears a voice that says, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And then said I, "Here am I. Send me." I believe one of the most powerful testimonies to the grace of God is a holy life. And what I mean by that is we can say a lot of things. We can say the right things. But to live a holy life, that will impact those around us. That will cause them to be hungry for Jesus. That will cause them to see that God is real. You know, I think in the days that we live, people are searching for reality and truth. And people are questioning. Maybe the way things have been or the way things are done. But I think it's an expression for many of a desire to find the truth and to find something real. And when we find someone that lives a holy life, that walks with God, that speaks to our hearts. And so I want to be one who can be a blessing to others. Not only in the things I say, but in the way I live. I'm sure that I'm going to repeat myself throughout the week. But this thought just comes to mind that holiness is not something that we can necessarily put on and put off. But holiness really is who you are. It encompasses you as a person. Either you're a holy person or you're not. Either you're a godly person or you're not. And so let's determine by God's grace. Yes, I use the word determine. By God's grace, that in the time we have here together, this prayer will be upon our hearts. Lord, make us clean. Lord, maybe you think you're all right, and I trust that you are with God. But don't be afraid to pray the prayer that says, Lord, if there's something that you see that I don't see, show it to me. Search me, O God. And I believe as we spend time with God over His Word, and maybe just in a quiet time before Him, He'll speak to you. He'll put His finger upon your heart. And when we respond and we say, "Yes, Lord, thank you. Thank you for showing me my need of you," the Lord is right there to come to us and to cleanse us and to remove that thing and to change us and make us clean. this past, well, maybe a number of months ago, on a Sunday evening, we have been doing a Zoom, you know. Anybody love Zoom? Don't all raise your hands. They love Zoom. I get to see the Andriocks and Sister Elsie and others, and it's a joy. But we had a pastor come, or came on Zoom and spoke to us, and he said one thing that really stuck with me. He said, what we tolerate will not change. You got that? Andres, you got that? What we tolerate will not change. And it wasn't so much about other people, but more about ourselves. So what we tolerate within our own selves will not change. And until we come to that realization that I need to be changed and that I need the Lord, we're not going to cry out to Him. And so this morning, if anything I could say is this, ask the Lord, show me, Lord, my need of You. Show me, Lord, how much I need You. And I believe as we pray and ask God to show us more of His holiness, He will show us how much we need Him. You see, because the call, again, is not to be like the person next to you or some great saint that you have read of or know, but the call is to be holy as He is holy. The call is to be like Jesus.